Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak and it's great to be back with you. For the next 30 minutes, you and I are going to look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent. Today is a special day, Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. For most of Lent, the mood has been somber. The mood has been about repentance. It's been focused on the passion of Jesus. And this is a good thing. I mean, that's necessary. That's what we try to do during Lent. But on this fourth Sunday of Lent, the church urges us to pause for a moment and focus on the rejoicing that will occur when Lent is over and Jesus has risen from the dead. We'll celebrate then, sort of like keeping your eye on the finish line. That's what the church wants us to look at. So therefore, we get this break in the Lenten season to rejoice, to focus on the fact that all of our hard work with the help of the Lord's grace is going to pay off one day if we're working at it and we're really trying our best to become holy. We will receive a reward, and not just at the end of Lent, but ultimately at the end of our lives when we live forever in heaven. So the spirit and the spirit of the program today is going to be a little bit more joyful, even though we are still in the Lent season. So we're going to do all that. We will look at the reflection from Give Up Worry for Lent as well for the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's going to be a busy show, so I invite you to just settle in and please join me, if you will. Join me in prayer before we officially kick off the program. And before we do that, as we head into our prayer, let's remember the important thing to keep in mind, that we are in the presence of Almighty God. Our Father is here with us. Jesus is here with us. The Holy Spirit is here with us. Don't forget that as we pray. It's so easy to forget that. I'm looking at a computer screen right now as I record this. You probably are looking at any number of things, and it's easy to forget that we're in the presence of God. So let's just pause, remember that, and begin. Okay, let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as we sign ourselves in your name, in the name of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit, we remind ourselves of the fact that you are present with us. And Father, where you are present, the full Trinity is present. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're with us as well. Sometimes it's tempting to just think that we're just saying these words. Maybe we're just trying to make ourselves feel good. We don't feel anything. We wonder, is anybody listening? Well, Father, we know by faith that you are listening. And I feel that you want me to mention that today, that you are listening, that you hear our words, and that you will take our prayers seriously, and you will grant them. But you will grant them according to what's best for us. Sometimes that's hard for us, at least for me, to accept. You will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. So, Father, we ask you. We ask you to bless us today and our family and friends. We ask you to come to the assistance of all those who are struggling, whether it's because of illness or loneliness or grief. Some people are angry. Some are searching for you, but they might not even know who they're searching for. People might be struggling with failed Lenten resolutions at this point. Any number of things, Father. So we lift these individuals and their intentions up to you. We pray that you will bring about peace around the world. You'll help those who are suffering from famine or terrorism or war or weather-related problems. We ask that you comfort those who are in pain, whether it be a physical pain or an emotional pain or even a spiritual pain. Bring them comfort, Father. Give hope to the hopeless. And Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Please guide my thoughts and my words on this show so that I can deliver your message and not my own message. And Father, I ask that you open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear what you want us to hear today and put it into practice in our lives. Father God, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Again, it's the fourth, this weekend is the fourth Sunday of Lent. That's what we're going to focus on in today's program. Kind of hard to believe that we are at this point in Lent. And just to give you a little perspective, which I like to do, so we can sort of frame this weekend's readings, this is the fourth Sunday. Next week is the fifth Sunday. And then after that, the following week is Palm Sunday, which launches us into Holy Week. So we're close. We're close to the end, but we've got plenty of time left during the Lenten season. So if you may have not been as successful as you wanted to be, first of all, a couple of things. And this is challenging, especially for somebody like me who likes to be in control. If you don't think you have succeeded during Lent, it's quite possible you're doing better than you think you are. Really, our ultimate success or failure is in the eyes of God, and it's really up to the grace that He gives us. And what I mean by that is I can't force myself on my own to have a good Lent, because what the Father or Jesus thinks is a good Lent might not be what I think is a good Lent. Sometimes, and in the past I've experienced this, a failure is a good thing because it makes us realize that maybe we're not as strong as we think we are. Maybe we need to work a little bit more. So what I would encourage you to do is, first of all, if you know you haven't been doing a good job, you could do a little better. Well, if that's the case, start today and make the most of the remainder of Lent. The Lord can work with that. He absolutely can. But if you've been trying really hard, maybe the Lord wants you to learn something other than what you thought you wanted to learn. That's what's happening to me this Lent. I was praying the other day and dealing with some issues some home repair issues that have really gotten overwhelming. And I realized that I was trusting more in my own abilities and not giving the Lord a chance to work as much as He would like to work in my life. And as a result, my peace was disturbed. And it made me realize that He's asking me to find peace in the midst of challenges that I didn't plan to take on. I had my Lenten plan in place for a long time, and I thought this is the way it's going to be. Well, He's been asking me to carry some extra crosses, some crosses that I didn't anticipate. And, you know, it took me a little while, but as I went with it, as I let the Lord work with me, as I tried to embrace the cross instead of fighting it, I started gradually to feel more peace. So let God decide what the best cross is for you during Lent, but just try your best. Make sure you're doing something. And I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you are doing something. That's a good thing. But as far as the success, by the time you hit the end of Lent, leave that up to the Lord, because ultimately that's what's going to happen. He's going to be the one to determine how fruitful your Lent was. All right, so no need to panic. Keep your hope going and we'll move forward. Before we get to the give up worry for Lent verse for the fourth Sunday of Lent, I just want to remind you, if you want to find out more about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You know, you can sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. We do that all year round, not just during Lent. All it takes is your email address. There's no cost. You can also find out how to bring me to speak at your parish. I just booked a Find Peace in Advent parish mission. So I'd be happy to, for this year, for December of this year. So if you would want to bring me in either for next Lent, for Advent, or throughout ordinary time, just visit followingthetruth.com and you can find out how to do that. All right. So let's, before we get into the readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent, let's look at the give up worry for Lent verse for the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's day 26 of the program. And since it is what is known as Rejoice Sunday or Laetare Sunday, let's look at this verse, which I chose in Give Up Worry for Lent for this particular day. It comes from Isaiah 66, verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her. And as we look at this verse and this whole idea of rejoicing, you know, it's a little difficult in Lent to think about rejoicing, because everything about Lent focuses on suffering and crosses and hard work and fasting and, you know, all those difficult things. And when we hear the word rejoice, we think like, wow, that's a little out of place. But what I would offer, and I think it's great that the church gives us a little bit of a break during the Lenten season, the idea of rejoicing. To rejoice is a choice. It's not a feeling. Sometimes we think joy is a feeling, but it's not. It's the act of rejoicing is choosing to celebrate something good. Why can we rejoice in the middle of Lent? In the middle of carrying our cross and fasting and suffering, we can rejoice because the Lord is always with us. And if we draw close to Him, as we're trying to do during Lent, we're trying to become holier with the help of His grace. We're trying to shed some bad habits, maybe clean up some areas of our lives that need to be cleaned up. If we do that, we can absolutely count on the Lord to do more work than we're doing and to give us some peace. And if you want to take it even further, if you live, not just during Lent, but a life of following the Lord, following the commandments of the church, adhering to what's in the Bible, and trying your best to live a holy life, and having those communications constantly with the Lord, if you do that, and you follow Him, if you literally just follow Jesus and listen to Him, you're going to get to heaven. And there's going to be no pain, no suffering, no tears in heaven. So certainly you can rejoice. I think sometimes we can overcomplicate this whole process. Really what it comes down to is learning to deny ourselves, which is what Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. That's what Luke says in Luke 9:23. That he adds that daily word. And follow me wherever. You know, sometimes Jesus will take us to the desert. Sometimes he'll lead us into the storm. Sometimes he will lead us to the top of the mountain for a breather. That's the way life is. The Lord knows what's best for each one of us. We can't choose our storms. We can't choose when the Lord will lead us into the desert. We can't choose when things are going to be smooth sailing. He knows. And if you can, and this is, you know, what I said at the beginning of the show, this is what I struggle with, to just stop fighting against the crosses, to stop trying to control them when you can't control them. Now, certainly the Lord gave us common sense. And if we are able to do something to correct the problems in our lives, then He would want us to do that. But when you can't do that, if you're going to find peace, the way is to just embrace your cross and to walk with Jesus and ask for the grace to get you through it. And that's when you will be able to find the peace. So as we continue this theme of rejoicing, let's look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent. Now, the Gospel is a familiar one. It's a little bit lengthier today, so I'm going to read it. You have heard this story before. Luke chapter 15, it begins in verse 1. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. And coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, His father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered the servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, the father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I obey or disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Now, this is the parable of the prodigal son. We've all heard this many times, and there is so much to unpack here. But for the sake of time, I'm going to try to just come up with the simple theme of this parable. This parable, if you're looking to get an idea of who God is and how merciful he is, this parable tells us just how merciful the father is. This son messed up. He was treating the father as if he was dead. He wanted the inheritance that he would receive upon the death of his father. In other words, "Father, you're dead to me. I just want the money." And the father gave it to him. And the son took off and he squandered the money. He wasted it, living a way that he shouldn't have lived. And then one day he woke up. He woke up, he came to his senses, and he decided to swallow his pride and head back to his father. And this is an important detail. While he was still walking, even before he got to speak to the father, his father saw him, and he ran out to him. He ran out to his son. While he was still a long way off, the father was filled with compassion. And he ran to the son. See, this is how God reacts to us when we turn back to him. This is what we're doing during Lent. We're recognizing that in some way, maybe not this radically, but in some way, we weren't as close to him as we should be. We've gotten off the right path. But know that whenever we come back to the Father, and confession is a big part of it. That's why confession is so important during the Lenten season. And we go back to the Father, even before we say anything, he reads our heart and he embraces us and welcomes us. And he's willing to overlook all the evil we've done because he just wants to be back with us. Now, the other brother did not handle this well. And I'll tell you what, there's been situations where I've felt the same way. Well, this person doesn't deserve forgiveness. Isn't it a good thing God doesn't operate like I do? So my recommendation, you know, you can look at the characters in this verse, in this parable, and maybe identify with one or two of them. I am identifying with the son who ran away, the prodigal son, who realized that he needed to make amends with the father. He had to get back in his good graces. He had to go back and apologize and repent and say, "I'm sorry, Father, I messed up." I can identify with that son. And I know when I do that, and some of that's taking place during Lent. Again, it doesn't even have to be something major. Maybe you're just, you know, messing up, forgetting about God a little bit more than you should. But once you decide to turn around and go back to him and say, "Father, I'm sorry," you know without a doubt that you are forgiven. That's incredible. And I'm so glad that God is merciful. So, you know, I recommend you read it again. Find the online mass readings. Go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website or look up the daily mass or the Sunday mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent and read that gospel again. And really let those words sink in and pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to hear the message that the Lord has for you. But when you look at that, what a perfect gospel to use for Rejoice Sunday. We rejoice because the Lord's never going to say, you messed up, I am not going to accept you. He won't say that. And this is what Jesus said, repent, believe in the gospel, come back. He's looking for that internal conversion, especially during Lent. And that is a reason to rejoice. Let's go back and look at the first reading, Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you. While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land, in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. In other words, they have arrived. They have arrived. Their journeying through the desert is over. They have reached the promised land. And for us, you know, we're still in Lent, but the rejoicing occurs at the end of Lent. We can rejoice because if we put the effort in, we will emerge closer to the Lord at the end of Lent. And also, let's look past Good Friday and recognize what Jesus did for us and realize that death wasn't the end of the story for him or for us. So because of what he did on the cross on Calvary 2,000 plus years ago, the gates of heaven are now open. You and I, we have been redeemed. And now it's a matter of us continuing to stay close to Jesus, listening to him, believing in him, and then one day achieving our salvation and being able to live forever in heaven. We can rejoice in that, even though we don't fully understand what it's all about. There's no way we could possibly fully understand what heaven's about. That's where faith is so important. And the virtue of hope. Hope tells us that we can get there. No matter how sinful we may be, we are able, with the help of the Lord's grace, to reside forever in the perfect happiness of heaven. And that's a good reason to rejoice. Let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 34. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Think back to that prodigal son story. I sought the Lord. He answered me. The father embraced his son as he would embrace you and I. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy. There's that rejoice theme. And your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from his distress he saved him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. You know, you see it in the prodigal son parable. You see it in the first reading. Lord's not going to say no. He's not going to be having a bad day. When we reach out to him, when we seek forgiveness, when we seek to draw closer to him, we will be rewarded. Let's see, the second reading is St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, and all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself. See that reconciliation, what we saw in the prodigal son? Reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses, prodigal son again, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And how can we best do that? By going to confession. So we are ambassadors for Christ. As if God were appealing through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is what we're trying to do during Lent. For our sake he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. And for all of these reasons, mainly the fact that if we move toward the Lord and ask for forgiveness, he's going to forgive us. And we still can experience his joy, both in this life to a certain extent, but more fully in heaven. And that's why the church gives us this season of Lent, to give us a chance to return to the Lord, to admit that, yes, we've messed up in some way. Now's our chance. And that's why we continue to work, because Lent's not over. But at the same time, the church says, take a break today. Rejoice, because this work, this turning back, this reconciliation with God, it's going to happen. Just put forth your best effort and depend on his grace. Man, good readings today. I'm fired up. That was good. We got them all in, too. We're just about out of time, but we were able to get all the readings in. But just spend a little time meditating on that prodigal son story again. It's in Luke chapter 15, begins in verse 1, runs all the way through verse 32. And really pay attention to that story and try to see yourself in that story. You might feel like you're the other brother. I mean, there have been times when I look at that and I say, man, I'm the other brother. I'm the one who's annoyed that somebody else is getting a free pass from the Lord, right? Or you might feel like the father. Maybe it's time for you to forgive someone. Wow, very, very powerful. Hey, if you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Or just head over to the website, followingthetruth.com, and you can email me or contact me through the website. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I hope you know that I continue to pray for you. You're very important to me. I'm so blessed that we're able to get together once each week on this show. And again, if you need anything, feel free to reach out. Remember, Lent's still got quite a bit of time left. Don't give up. But today, sit back for at least a moment and rejoice. Because if you put forth the effort and you really try to return to the Lord, he's going to give you a great big hug and welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. And God willing, we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.